Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Wednesday, May 26th, and I am reading from the New International Version. We pick up in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, and I'll be reading verse 11 through the end of the chapter. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has come back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" We are now turning to Psalm 12. We are really making our way through the Psalms. Today, the Psalm is for the director of music, according to Sheminith, a Psalm of David. "Help, Lord, for the godly are no more. The faithful have vanished from among men. Everyone lies to his neighbor. Their flattering lips speak with deception. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and every boastful tongue that says, 'We will triumph with our tongues. We own our lips. Who is our master?' Because of the oppression of the weak and the groaning of the needy, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will protect them from those who malign them, and the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver refined in the furnace of clay, purified 7 times. O Lord, you will keep us safe and protect us from such people forever. The wicked freely strut about when what is vile is honored among men. Before we move on to Job, I just wanted to comment a little bit on Psalm 12. My study Bible was very helpful here in kind of figuring out what might be the context for David's prayer. David is addressing a time when people have sacrificed loyalty and faithfulness and truth on the altar of selfishness and ego, according to the study Bible. The mood has shifted dramatically from Psalm 11, in which David expresses great confidence in God. Here, he focuses more on the damage in society that disloyalty and lies and deception cause. He begins the psalm by asking for God's help amidst the breakdown of societal standards. A cult of personality seems to be the norm, with flattery and boasting and self-sufficiency as the currency of the day. Remember these verses? May the Lord cut off all flattering lips, every boastful tongue, hear ego there, and says, we will triumph with our tongues. We own our lips. Who is our master? They are forsaking the word of God and believing in their own words. We'll continue with what the study Bible says. In contrast, God promises to arise and help the poor and the needy. David praises God's words, which are like refined silver and gold, and trust in him for help. And that's really where we want to end every day, isn't it? Trust in the Lord and confidence in his word. And now we'll move over to the book of Job. Today we are reading Job chapter 11, and we introduce a new character into the dialogue. Here we meet Zophar the Naamathite, and Zophar is going to give a rebuttal to Job's complaint. Then Zophar the Naamathite replied, "Are all these words to go unanswered? Is this talker to be vindicated? Will your idle talk reduce men to silence? Will no one rebuke you when you mock? You say to God, 'My beliefs are flawless and I am pure in your sight.' Oh, how I wish that God would speak, that he would open his lips against you and disclose to you the secrets of wisdom. For true wisdom has 2 sides. Know this, God has even forgotten some of your sin. Can you fathom the mysteries of God? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty? They are higher than the heavens. What can you do? They are deeper than the depths of the grave. What can you know? Their measure is longer than the earth and wider than the sea. If he comes along and confines you in prison and convenes a court, who can oppose him? Surely he recognizes deceitful men, and when he sees evil, does he not take note? But a witless man can no more become wise than a wild donkey's colt can be born a man. Yet, if you devote your heart to him and stretch out your hands to him, if you put away the sin that is in your hand and allow no evil to dwell in your tent, then you will lift up your face without shame and you will stand firm and without fear. You will surely forget your trouble, recalling it only as waters gone by. Life will be brighter than noonday, and darkness will become like morning. You will be secure because there is hope. You will look about you and take your rest in safety. You will lie down with no one to make you afraid, and many will court your favor. But the eyes of the wicked will fail, and escape will elude them. Their hope will become a dying gasp. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. Here in Job 11, Zophar brings some good points, but he also brings some incomplete points, or maybe even some points that are incorrect and against what we believe as Christians. And so that's why the book of Job is hard to preach and it's hard to discern daily what the Lord has for us. But I want us to look back at verse 7. He says here, "Can you fathom the mysteries of God? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty?" And these are rhetorical questions, right? And the answer is no. He's correct. God is so big and so wise. And in the end of this book, we're going to circle back around to this theme that who can know the mysteries of God? But then if you turn over to verses, let's see, 13 and 14, he kind of has this theology that if you repent of your sins, God's going to make everything better. And you and I know that when we come in repentance and in faith, that does not preclude us or help us to escape suffering. Listen to 13 and 14. "Yet if you devote your heart to him and stretch out your hands to him, if you put away the sin that is in your hand and allow no evil to dwell in your tent, 15, then you will lift up your face without shame. You will stand firm and without fear." And then it goes on to say, you know, darkness will become light and he's going to restore to you good things. You won't be afraid. And you and I know that sometimes we still have suffering and different moments that assail us as believers. And it's not necessarily a product of our sinfulness. Okay, we'll continue on with Job tomorrow, but today I want to end our time together thinking on God's word and thinking on his wisdom with a prayer written by Thomas A Kempis. O God, in whom we trust, strengthen us not to regard too much who is for us or who is against us, but to see to it that we be with you in everything we do. Amen.